I get it. Atta babe.
See what I did there?
Atta baby. You know, I've now been to Manhattan a few times. I've never explored New York, though. I've only explored Manhattan. I've driven through Queens. I think I drove through the Bronx. I've never been to Long Island. I've never been to Staten Island. Never done any of that. I need to talk to Grant and ask him if I'm. He'll probably be like, "You're not missing anything." But maybe I am. I don't know. When I'm in New York, it's basically everything is mushed together and it's crazy. And hey, here's a falafel stand, and then there's some tea, and there's a chocolate place. Oh, and there's a Saks Fifth Avenue. We did go to we explored last night, Kyle. We went to the ice skating at Rockefeller Center.
I saw that.
They only allow a certain amount of, I mean, it makes sense, but I guess everybody's waiting to get on the ice because they only allow a certain amount of people on there.
Right.
And so we thought about it, and we went down there just to look. It's $38, I think, for an hour, as I understood it, plus like a $20 skates rental. So it's $58 a person for an hour, and I've never ice skated before. So we passed on that because I don't think that would have been worth it. Then we went to Radio City Music Hall, and we were going to go in and see the Rockettes. But it was a three-hour show, and it was $50 a ticket, and it started at 9 o'clock. I said, no. Madison Square Garden. Hey, the Knicks were playing last night. The Knicks were playing last night against the Grizzlies. We thought about going. Cheapest get-in ticket, $53, and it was in a place where I would have spent more time worrying about heights than I would have worried about the game. Like, I didn't even know the Garden was that big.
I was really sad because when I went to New York in 2012, I guess it was, the Garden was closed for, like, renovation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Construction, yeah.
Yeah, so we just ended up walking around and going to Times Square and eating a falafel at some point.
Did you go to Nike Town?
No.
You should.
No. Why?
Nike Town, dude. It's on 57th.
What's there? I'm on Nike. But wait, I mean,
it's like a 6-story Nike store, dude. It's bananas.
Yeah, no. Maybe next time. By the way, I'm just saying, maybe next time. Although, have you been to
this? It has an 8.7 out of 10 on Foursquare.
Wow, really? I wanted to go to a deli last night. I couldn't find one. One of the big delis. The only one that, Katz's deli was like 3 miles away. And that's the other thing here. If something is 2 miles away, that's kind of close, right? No, 2 miles away, 47 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Unless you walk.
From the 916, in other news, Bitcoin is up to $16,100. And then 2 minutes later, hey, in other news, it's now up to, hey, listen, I told you guys, hey, it was like a month ago I started talking about that. I'm with you. This whole cryptocurrency thing is insane. I don't understand what one is, but I know I've put money in it. That's all I know. And it will probably crash tomorrow, and my Bitcoins will be worth like $1.50. Bunch of nerds are making money off of this, Kyle.
Did you see the thing about, and I don't want to launch into a whole Bitcoin thing, but that it takes so much energy to like mine and produce Bitcoins.
Yes.
That it's going to like cost more just to produce them than it is to have them.
I don't know if I buy it. I mean, $16,000 a Bitcoin for one. For one. Again,
no, I
don't
understand.
I don't understand. I don't. I mean, I get what you're understanding. I don't understand any of it. Here's what I do know, because I was looking at this stuff. I'm constantly looking at this. You know how much in percentage Bitcoin has gone up so far this month? Or, excuse me, in the last 30 days?
Like 112.
131%.
Wow.
In a week, it's gone up 63%. And it was already breaking records last week. I don't understand it. But I'm trying to. I just know the extra couple of pennies I had lying around, I put into Bitcoin. Let's leave it there. Oh, God, if I'd have just, and everyone's thinking this, you'd have just bought the Bitcoin back when it was worth like $30 a Bitcoin, which, you know, was like 5 years ago.
30 bits.
30, 30 freaking bits, man.
Dude.
I mean, my God.
Hey, do you think at some point the NCAA might start paying their players in Bitcoin?
I'd be fine with that personally. I would be too. Absolutely okay with that. So Mark Emmert.
Like, nice job. You get 2 Bitcoins.
Mark Emmert is the president of the NCAA. And he was asked about Lonzo Ball, LiAngelo Ball. He was asked about the balls.
Someone asked him if LeVar Ball was good for college basketball, good for college sports, or not.
You got upset at this, and I want you to tell me what part of the quote you got upset at, or what are you taking issue with? Tell everybody.
He says, "Is this a part of someone being part of your university as a student athlete, or is it about using college athletics to prepare yourself to be a pro? If it's the latter, you shouldn't be there in the first place."
So if you're using college to prepare yourself for being a pro, you shouldn't be in college in the first place.
Yes.
Now, I can think of a number of things wrong with this, but I'm curious as to what you found wrong with it. Are you saying, dude, you make so much money off of these athletes?
Yes. Then,
okay, that's what. Okay, I got you.
They would rather the NBA make a rule that says, hey, high schoolers, you can come to the G League, skip college. That would kill college basketball.
Here's what I don't understand, Kyle, and I was thinking about this quote last night, and I kind of took it the same way you did. But here's what I don't get. College football, let's just talk about college basketball. College basketball is, for the most part, at least the part we care about, it is a free minor league. Here's what I understand. The NBA already has the G League in place. Why have we not seen the adjustment yet where no good players go to college? Like, literally, you get drafted out of high school, and why can't they adjust that? Why can't they adjust that, say that you can, if you want to, because here's how you fix it, Kyle. If you want to leave high school and be drafted and become a professional and not be at risk of tearing your knee up for some big, rich athletic director and chancellor, if you want to leave, that's fine. But you have to play a year in the G League. Instead of you have to play a year in college, you have to play a year in the G League. But you're going to be on your rookie contract. You're going to have millions of dollars. You're going to have insurance. Why is the G League not filled with Marvin Bagley's and DeAndre Ayton's and the best players in the world, not in the NBA? And then the NBA just markets the hell out of that. People are actually really into it. And then college basketball can be what college basketball should be, which is kids playing basketball that probably maybe a half of 1% are going to make the NBA, but they figure they won't. And then we get March Madness, and then we forget it's like the Olympics. We know who these players are for 2 weeks out of the year, and then we forget all about them till next year. Why is that not happening? Why does that not exist? I mean, I'm really asking, Kyle. Why is that not? Why is that not the reality?
So basically, you want them to do away with the one and done rule.
I want them by doing away with the one and done rule, and attaching an asterisk to that, saying you can come out of high school, but you will play in the G League for a year if you're drafted. That's where the team's going to put you. Thus, propping up the G League, getting rid of college basketball, allowing these players to be protected by being paid and professional.
Paid. Yep.
Yes. And then everybody wins except college basketball. Who cares? I don't think we'd miss it. I don't think we'd miss these players. I think we would watch the G League more. I think it would be interesting. What if we had drafted De'Aaron Fox last year, but we drafted him straight out of high school? He played in the G League last year, just like we follow the River Cats or any other minor league team.
It's like it's legitimately just a wasted year.
Yes.
And I think that because Emmert said, quote, "We don't have any control of the one and done rule, but I'm hard pressed to understand why there isn't a direct career path for someone that wants to become a pro basketball player without going to college first." He's right.
Yeah.
But to be so ignorant as to say, is this part of someone being part of your university as a student athlete, or is it about using college athletics to prepare yourself to be a pro? The only reason that the NCAA makes so much money is because of those athletes preparing themselves to be pros.
Sure.
And so for him to dismiss them,
yeah, that's
is ignorant and it's stupid.
When they paid for his house, his car, his kids' college fund.
Yes, and yet those athletes can get $0.
We'll get back into this a little bit later because we had a break and get into four down territory. People worried about less people watching college basketball. I don't know if less people would watch, maybe a little bit, but let's be honest. You're not watching college basketball all the time. If there's no NBA players in there, so what? Guess what? Now the colleges are a little bit more even now. You don't have John Calipari anymore. And that, those whole situations where the one and dones dominate. Now you have actual teams with all of them having 3 and 4 year guys on there. So you get a better product, more likely. Then March Madness rolls around. You have fun with that. And you get to enjoy these guys in the G League learning how to be professionals, playing professional basketball, and getting paid for it. We'll take a break. We'll get back. Four down territory. And what do we have planned for you? Oh, my goodness. Mike Mitchell of the Pittsburgh Steelers went off on the Juju suspension. Roger Goodell is richer. And then we got to get in the big games of the weekend. It's the Drive. Back in three. Sports 1140 KSTK.
Where are we at? There it is. Roger Goodell signs a deal worth $40 million with incentives. $40 million a year with incentives. Right move for the NFL?
Listen, it's a lot of money, and I don't understand that part of it. It's in the single-digit millions until you factor in incentives, and it sounds like he'll be able to reach most of those incentives. I think it was the right move to keep Roger Goodell with the negotiations coming up in 2020 and all the other stuff going on. It's the right move to keep him. You need that stability right now. I don't understand $40 million. I can tell you this much. Was it in the last 5 years, 6 years, Roger Goodell has made more than any player in the NFL. There's no player in the NFL that has come close to what Roger Goodell has made. Yeah. But you know what? That's what these guys do. Here's the deal. If Roger Goodell is worth $40 million, how much is Adam Silver worth to the NBA? I hope that dude in his next deal gets $150 million a year.
Yeah, it's I didn't see a single positive response from a player yesterday regarding Roger Goodell, so that'll be interesting at the next CBA because I don't think the players are going to negotiate easily with the league.
Well, that first two things here, and I don't disagree with you, Kyle. Number one, he's not there to represent the players. He's there to represent the owners. Number two, the players are too disorganized and their union is too stupid to negotiate with Roger Goodell and the owners. That's the bottom line. Second down.
Mike Mitchell went off on the Juju suspension saying, amongst other things, quote, "This isn't flag football. Just give us flags." Does he have a point?
Was he listening to the show yesterday? I feel like he was. He went off. He went on to say, some of these quotes are crazy. I signed up to play full speed contact football, and we're not doing that. I feel like I got to ask a guy, hey, you ready for me to hit you right now before I hit you? And that's crazy. I'm going to mess around and get hurt trying to protect an offensive player because he's running an over route. I mean, listen, we don't have near enough time. I want to get into this at 7:35. I want to continue a little bit of our conversation from yesterday. And Kyle, you and I are I wouldn't say on opposite sides of this, but we definitely see these things a little bit differently. I understand where he's coming from, though. I do.
Yeah, no, I agree with him to a point.
Third down.
What's your big game this weekend?
Let me tell you something. This is arguably the best weekend, regular season weekend of football that we've had so far. I was looking through the games. First off, you have a phenomenal Thursday night matchup, Saints and Falcons. That's a great game. You could make an argument. That's the game of the weekend. Oh, but wait. Now you have the Raiders and Chiefs for a little bit of NFC or AFC West supremacy, perhaps. The Vikings and Panthers are going at it. Game of the week, though. Game of the week. It's got to be, right? Eagles, Rams. Eagles and Rams, that is a matchup of NFC powerhouses, and it's in L.A. I think the Eagles are the better team slightly, but the fact that it's in L.A., Kyle, I think that's a damn even matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I agree. That has to be the game of the weekend. The other one I'm going to be keeping my eye on, though, for sure, is the Seahawks visiting the Jaguars.
Yeah. You got Seahawks, Jaguars, Ravens, Steelers on Sunday Night Football as well. Why can't I find the damn Chargers? Where are the Chargers at?
Chargers are home against Washington.
Chargers are home against the Redskins. Yep, there you go. All right, fourth down.
Where is it? Big Thursday game. Saints. Falcons. What you got?
Dude, I'm struggling with this game. Atlanta's the 1-point favorite at home. And the Saints, though, they're coming off. Well, they won. They lost the week before. I was wondering if they lost last week. I'm going to go with the Saints. I'm going with New Orleans. I'm going with New Orleans beating the Falcons. Damn it. For a second, I got really excited. That's why I paused, because I forgot this was in Atlanta. I thought it was Thursday Night Football, and I'm going to be in New Orleans later today. Oh, that was for a second, I was going to try to stub my way in. No, it's in Atlanta. Falcons.
Yeah, I got the Falcons.
Okay.
Or no, I'm sorry. I got the Saints.
Sure.
Yeah, because you started to cut out there really bad.
Oh.
And that threw me off. And I was reading something. No, I got the Saints, though.
So. Do I sound better now?
Yeah. No, you're good now. The Saints are a better team. Their defense is good. And I don't think the Falcons have things quite as figured out as we thought they did.
Well, the Falcons don't have Alvin Kamara either. So.
Great point.
Let's be honest there. Let's take a break. When we get back, we got a lot of stuff to get into. Yes, we heard from Ben Gumpert, Mayor Steinberg, and Kevin Nagel in the MLS front yesterday. We'll try to get to that in this next segment. Matt Barrows is going to join us at 8:05. I want to get back to Mike Mitchell's comments on the state of the NFL. It's The Drive, Sports 1140, back in three. Was this the Ramones?
No. Close. Close-ish. The Strokes.
Sex Pistols? Who?
The Strokes.
Oh, the Strokes. I could barely hear it. I got you. It's always good to come back. We're doing a New York playlist. It's always good to come back on the air with reverb. Is that where they hold the guitar close to the speaker, I think?
Yeah.
It makes the squeaky sound?
Yeah.
All right. How are you feeling there, Kyle? I know you were sick earlier today. You still sick,
though. Well, Pat and Tom show, the guys from the Pat and Tom show came in and gave me a Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit.
Oh, no.
And I was looking at it, and I'm like, man, I can't eat this. But then the more I was sitting there, the more I was like, man, I really want to eat that. So I ate it.
Yeah?
And I'm feeling a little better.
You are.
Because remember, I said yesterday wasn't feeling well. So what I do, my typical move is after the show, because I write over at TimesWire.com, like six posts a day. So I write basically from the time the show ends until I go to bed. And so I go to Starbucks and I do my writing, and then I go home, I get something to eat, and I go to the gym, and then I come back.
Why do you go to Starbucks and do your writing?
Because that's just where I'm most productive. If I try and sit at home, I wind up turning the TV on, and
I've always wondered why people go. I get they have coffee and stuff, but you can have coffee at home. I always wonder when I see people writing at a Starbucks. Mm-hmm. I always wonder why are you here and not writing at home?
Because as you know, I live in somebody else's house, so I don't have like an office or anything. So it's either I'm laying on my bed and writing, or I'm sitting on the couch and writing. And A, that's just not as comfortable. But B, like I said, in a public place, there are less distractions for me. I used to do all my writing in college at a McDonald's.
Now, see, in a public place, there's less distractions for me.
Yeah.
It's literally the opposite of how I think. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I'm fascinated that somebody else thinks that way, that you're less distracted at a Starbucks. I mean, I'm not trying to talk you out of doing it.
Yeah, no, it's just that's just how it is. I mean, I can't explain it. That's just how
I'm not
attacking
operate. You.
But yeah, so I got home yesterday, and basically I didn't eat all day yesterday, and I wasn't hungry, and I thought maybe if I go to the gym. So I went to the gym and I did a workout, and that did not make me hungry like I thought it would. And I just wasn't feeling well. So not only was I not feeling well, but I haven't eaten since like 10 a.m. yesterday.
Well, when you said that they handed you a Chick-fil-A biscuit, you heard me go, oh, no. And I want to make sure you don't misconstrue why I said, oh, no. I said, oh, no, because I'm upset that I'm not there to have a Chick-fil-A biscuit. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just got a second one.
Oh.
So.
You're killing me.
Well, no, I'm eating this for you. You're welcome.
Come on. They bring
Dude,
in Chick-fil-A.
You're in the land of giant pastrami sandwiches, and you're about to go to the land of beignets and hurricanes. So you can
gotcha. Beignets. Beignets sounds like a linebacker at Towson State. Mike Mitchell, speaking of eating, is fed up. Yesterday or Tuesday, I should say, he got on Twitter and railed on the NFL for suspending his teammates. Then he got in front of media. and he got angry. Quote, I got blanks like Matt Hasselbeck. What do you think he said there? Blanks. I mean, we can't say it on the air, but what word do you think he used? Do you think he used the B word?
I think he went bees for
bees.
Sure.
And now we're not talking Bumble. We're talking female doggies, right?
Right.
We're on the same page there. Okay. I got expletives like Matt Hasselbeck calling me a dirty player and trying my character we've never met before. I donate more money to Cincinnati underprivileged kids than probably the people on the Bengals. So don't give me that blank. He goes on, and this is the part that really kind of caught my eye. I signed up to play full speed contact football, and we're not doing that. I feel like I've got to ask a guy, hey, are you ready for me to hit you right before I hit you? And that's crazy. I'm going to mess around and get hurt trying to protect an offensive player because he's running an over route. What else did he say here? Well, you get the gist. He says, listen, I signed up for this. We signed up for this. This is how the game works. And you and I talked about this yesterday, Kyle, and I'm probably being a little over the top just because it's good to play devil's advocate sometimes. But I brought up the idea that, you know, people are saying the NFL ratings are going down because, you know, people are kneeling and the ratings are going down because high-definition TV and then blah, blah, blah. I'd be right. Reasons, maybe, just maybe, the ratings are going down is because you have your, you know, red-blooded American flyover state type of guy, and I'm not saying that with any judgment whatsoever. I'm saying it as a fact. Your core group of people that watch football because it's a symphony of violence. And now that you have instant replay all over the place and penalties everywhere, and you sack a guy and you're excited only to be told that it's unnecessary roughness, and you have these suspensions and deflate gates and all that. I mean, that's got to be a part of the factor, at least for a group of people. And maybe Mitchell has a point here a little bit.
Sure. But my thing is, he said he knows George Iloka, and he knows that he would never put on a dirty hit like that because he trains with him all the time. But then at the same time, he also argues, Mike Mitchell does, that people don't know Mike Mitchell because they're judging him based on him on the football field, and that's not him, that's his competitive side. So
sure.
Who's to say that George Iloka's competitive side did not say, you know what, I'm dropping a helmet into this guy's head? And here's my beef. I understand what he's saying, and I am fully on board with the idea that the NFL is way too cautious with their penalties. I remember there was one in the last game at Candlestick, and this isn't like the most important one or the most egregious one. It's just one that stands out. And Dante Whitner lit up Steven Jackson. It was shoulder to shoulder. It was clean. It was a great hit. It was one of those hits that go, man, football's awesome. And they flagged it. But when the league has said, hey, we're doing away with helmet-to-helmet hits, you're going to get flagged if you hit a dude in the helmet, and then a guy hits somebody in the helmet, you can't be shocked when the flags come out.
It's against the rules.
Right.
That's why the flags come out. I think the question is, should the rules be in place?
Yeah, see, and here's the other thing. I think that helmet to helmet and things like that should be reviewable on some level. Because there's no way to see that in real time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess I agree with him and I disagree with him. I'm sitting on the fence.
Do you... There's a part of me that would like to see the game revert back to the rules in the 1980s. I wouldn't say 60s or 70s. I'd say 80s or at the worst 90s. And I'm fighting with that part internally, I'll be honest. But I am starting to think more and more like, you know what? I get it. But there are a lot of sports out there that have some really, really, really big danger issues. You know, how many times every year do we hear about Indy 500 or a NASCAR driver or some racer who got killed on the track? Like that happens every year, it seems like. We don't ban the sport. They've done a ton of stuff to make it safer. We don't ban the sport. Boxers and mixed martial artists are concussed on a daily basis.
Sure.
You don't ban the sport. They're not wearing headgear. I mean, seriously, think about that. Nobody's wearing headgear in MMA. So what are we doing? When it comes to football, I want to make a statement, and then I want you at 339-1140 and Kyle and whoever to hit back at me. I'm the new commissioner of the NFL. I'm saying, you know what, we're pulling back these rules with a few exceptions. You know, we of course, we don't want people to get hurt. Of course, we don't want you to get CTE. Of course, we don't. But this is what you signed up for. You didn't sign up for diet, you know, football light. You signed up to play full contact NFL football. And you're going to get jacked up, no pun intended. It's kind of like when I hear, and I'm a smoker, but when I see the people suing the tobacco companies because they got cancer.
But
hey, stupid. Do you see people standing around a campfire taking deep breaths?
But that's okay. So I guess that's what the NFL is trying to prevent. The NFL is trying to prevent a scenario where they have, because they already have guys retiring early.
Sure.
If they acknowledged in some way that they're not trying to do something about player safety now and in the future, you would have more players quitting. And so when people say, well, if you don't like it, don't play, that would be the case if the NFL said, you know what, we're reverting it back to the 80s. You can do whatever you want.
Do you think
Vontaze Burfict is the best linebacker in the league now?
Do you think we're going to have a shortage of talent in the NFL? People are just not going
to
play?
That's already starting to be a problem. When you talk about the quality of play going down, I think that 100% has to do with the amount of talent in the NFL.
I mean, I hear the phones ringing. Go ahead. That brings in the question, has the quality of play in the NFL gone down? I still see a lot of quality play in the NFL, and, yeah, I see a lot of bad plays too. If you smoke, you're probably going to get lung cancer and die. Newsflash. If you play football, there's a very good chance you're going to have CTE. And by the way, other things we don't even know about. So I'm not going to judge any man for not playing football. If somebody decides they want to play baseball or basketball or tiddlywinks or nothing, good, good. Like, I'm seriously good. But if you go in to play NFL football, which means you've already played high school football, by the way, when your brain is developing and kids don't know how to hit, but we're cool with that. Like, we're, again, not a doctor, but if I had to put money on, hey, which is worse, a concussion at 14 or a concussion at 25, I'm going to side with 14. But we're good with that. You played high school football. You played college football. Now you're in the NFL. You, at that point, either A, know that football is highly dangerous and you're going to suffer long-term effects, or B, you're dumb and you shouldn't be playing anything because you're dumb. So why can't we just say, and I'm not trying to do old man take. I'm coming off my previous take, which was always like, no, we need to make the game safer. Now I'm starting to turn again and say, you know what? No, no. We actually need to put the danger back in the game a little bit. And if you don't want to, yes. And if you don't want to play, and if you don't want to play NFL football, if that is,
then you're
too
not going to have
a
league in 5 years, Dave.
That's not true.
That's absolutely not true. A fact.
You're going to have players that don't play in the NFL in 5 years that would play, but you're still going to have a league because you're going to have money. You're going to have people that want to make that money, and you're going to have people that want to watch the NFL. Now, there are a lot of pearl clutchers out there, and I don't mean that in a demeaning way. I mean that you got a lot of people out there that are like, no, 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 this is barbaric. And they have a point. They completely have a point. But don't watch. Don't watch. Let the players' union decide. And the NFL and the players' union have to come together.
Yeah, and the NFL is doing all this because they're being sued by players from the 70s and 80s.
Much like the tobacco
companies
are being
taken care
of as well. 100%, and they need to fix that. But you're not going to hear an argument from me on that. You got to take care of. You have to improve the pension plans. You have to take care of your vets. Excuse me, your retired players. There's no argument there, Kyle, for me. 100%. I'm starting to feel less bad, though. I'm awakening on a different angle. Maybe I'm sleeping, the opposite of woke. I'm sleeping now. I'm going back to I'm slumbering. Because, again, it's football. Guys get hit in hockey. They're wearing helmets. Guys get hit in boxing and in MMA. Now, Kyle, what you're not hearing me say is I'm not saying, dude, if you play football and you think it's too violent, well, then you're a sissy. No, that's not, I'm saying you're actually a really smart person. Like, I get it. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I'm saying, can we all agree that football is an incredibly dangerous sport and you're probably going to
Yes.
suffer long? Okay. So we know this. It's not a secret. So if you're going in with your eyes wide open to football and you understand that and you take on that responsibility in exchange for making money, playing the game you love, and supporting your grandchildren, yeah, sure, make sure the helmets work, put on the pads. But I'd like to see less of these flags and more of these hits be okay again. Why? Because it's enjoyable to watch guys get trucked. To me, and I'm asking you honestly, Kyle, and I won't listen, it's an opinion. Do you not enjoy seeing a guy get trucked?
Seeing a guy get,
Just flattened. Clean, I mean, let me forget clean, but.
like a shoulder to chest, like when a running back puts a shoulder into a defensive back and the defensive back goes flying. I love that. I mentioned that Dante Whitner hit on Steven Jackson. You can YouTube it. Like, I am here for all of that. And if guys get hurt as a result of that, yeah, that's football. But guys flying in using their helmet as a weapon, that to me is not football. That's not okay. That's trying to hurt people. That's trying to cause long-term damage to somebody. And the argument you're making is hard for me to swallow when you're the one that hates Vontaze Burfict. When Vontaze Burfict is just an old school football player.
I see. I did see again. I think that's a line, and
No.
I understand the point you're making, but I do think that's a line. You can say a lot of people say Vontaze Burfict's an old school football player, whether it's
That's
him
he
or
is.
Jack Tatum or Connie Dobler.
And you hate him. You enjoyed seeing him get his jaw pushed into the back of his skull.
I don't mind Vontaze Burfict's hard hits. What I do mind is him literally trying to end people's careers. Now, I'm not arguing for, hey, let's put spikes on the helmets and everybody, there should be no penalties and everybody take crazy shots and try to kill the other guy. What I am arguing for is let's dial it back a little bit. We're a slingshot. We've shot all the way over now to where you pull a quarterback. The guy is in the air on his way to the quarterback. Quarterback lets go of the ball. He falls in the quarterback. Quarterback goes
Yes,
down at 15
yes.
yards.
There are some ludicrously dumb, like roughing the quarterback calls. I agree completely with that.
And I'm saying, and I'm being a little over dramatic, Kyle, because I'm saying I think we've really gone over to one side over the last 10 to 15 years. I think it's okay to acknowledge that, dude, we need more research on concussions. We need more research on CTE. Football is an incredibly dangerous sport. It really is. You know what else is a really dangerous thing? Painting vehicles. I'm being serious. Like, how many jobs out there can we go through and say, okay, well, if you work in this mine, if you're painting cars and inhaling those fumes, I mean, let's sit back and list for the next 20 minutes, which we won't. Let's sit back and list jobs that aren't sports that come with, and by the way, we're staying completely away from the military. Jobs outside of sports, where you basically are all but guaranteed to die early from some sort of lung issue or other things that build up because of that job. Here's the difference. Both sides know what they're going into. I'm talking about, whatever dangerous job guy versus NFL player. They both know what they're going into, okay? The difference is NFL guy's great grandchildren, if he handles his money right, they're going to go to a private school Whereas other, you know, regular Joe guy working the blue collar that's inhaling fumes or dust or whatever the hell all day long is going to die from what's the stuff in the ceilings, the mesothelioma or whatever, the asbestos. That guy's making maybe 60 a year, benefits, gets a watch after 20, 30 years in.
What? NFL players get paid with their worth. I don't know.
No, I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm saying, Kyle, I'm with you. I'm saying here's the difference. They're both really dangerous jobs in which the employees know what they're getting going in, but NFL guy is getting paid millions of dollars, which he should. So educate, make them aware, take care of them after they retire. But maybe pull back a little bit on some of this. I'm cool seeing Jacked Up on the weekend. That doesn't bother me. You don't have to watch it. I'll watch it and I'll have fun, just like I watch Ultimate Knockouts on FS1. Just why I've seen reels of NASCAR's greatest crashes. Because that's what we do, but it's not okay to say that anymore. It's not okay to say that you watch that and it's all entertaining.
It's perfectly okay.
Oh, are you kidding me? How much you want to bet if I were to say I was really entertained by watching NASCAR and Indy's 30 minutes of auto crashes the other day, that at some point I'm going to get four people on the text line that are livid because while I'm enjoying that on my ass on my couch, I'm not thinking about their family and the fact that this guy might have been killed or hurt, and how dare I be entertained by that? Because that's where we are right now.
So that's a mindset for some people. But nobody is going to not listen to your show anymore because you said that.
Say that again.
Nobody's going to not listen to your show anymore because you said that.
You know where I know we have a topic that, and we've said this many times before, you know where I know we're in a topic that deserves more exploring? Two things. Number one, when I'm passionate about it, you're passionate about it, and it's not made up passion. I love that. That's number one. That's my favorite part about Sports Talk Radio. Number two, when we have the text line open, dude, I have some people that are ready to hand me a trophy right now for what I've been saying. And I have some people on there that are literally, Dave, what kind of drugs are you on? This is horrible. What are you thinking? And you know what? I think it's okay to explore this more, Kyle.
And the people that are saying, like, I worked in this job and it was this dangerous, how much training do you go through? Like, how many rules and regulations are there to minimize the chances that you get hurt on the job?
Sure.
I mean, there is...
Don't you get that with football, though, too?
Yes. And then,
right.
And then sometimes a guy takes a helmet-to-helmet shot at somebody,
sure.
And that's against the rules. Like, I don't know why that's hard.
I don't think...
Because it's more dangerous.
I don't know what everyone else... I don't know if... I can't speak for the world. I know that I'm certainly not advocating for a lawless NFL. Of course not. And I don't want to keep repeating myself. We're for education. Totally for taking care of the retired players. When I said, let's put a little bit of the danger back in the game, that upset you. But at what point do we slow down, or do we? And do we not? Kyle, do you believe that part of the reason NFL ratings are down is because they've made the game safer?
Yes, because there are some egregiously poorly officiated games where, like that game the other night was horribly officiated. Monday night, that Steelers-Bengals game. There were so many terrible calls in that game. But no, when you have a defensive lineman who has to fight through a double team and he finally gets to the quarterback and falls down at the quarterback's legs and he gets flagged for it, that's insane to me. Like, plays like that are insane.
I think we have to find a line. And I think we're over that line, in my opinion. I think we're over that line right now. I think we need to come back. I think it's okay to say, guys, you signed up for this. You're going to get hurt. If you don't like it, don't play. And I also think it's okay to say, you know what, as a viewer, if you don't like the danger in the game, if that's too much for you, and in a non-judgy way, if that's too much for you, then I totally get if you don't watch football. but it's football. It's not hula hoop. You know, and that type of stuff, I think, in a
Hula
lot of
hoop.
I don't think hula hoop is a particularly dangerous game. Do you? I don't. Maybe there's some
Because they've
hundred.
regulated the headshots out of hula hoops, see?
We're gonna get a guy who's gonna be texting in furiously in 10 minutes, be like, dude, I had my hip replaced. And I think honestly, dude, we gotta wrap this segment up, but what's tough to acknowledge because it's not kind of where we're at right now. Like, I'm all for the advances and the wokiness and everything that's going on. I really am. But you got a lot of football fans who are just like, dude, I don't want the politics. I don't want the safety. I get my ass beat all week long by some dumb boss that I want to stab in the throat. You know what I want to do? I want to sit on my ass for 7 hours and drink a High Life or some other crap beer. And I want to watch a bunch of dudes richer than me. I want to watch them all bleed out of their mouths because that makes me feel better. And I want them chanting and I want them protesting. You know what, Kyle? I just realized, dude, I think being in New York is starting to have an effect on me.
Yeah, clearly.
Jeez. We'll take a break. When we get back, we still let later on in this hour, we're going to hear from Kevin Nagel, Ben Gompert, Mayor Daryl Steinberg, right after they came out of their meetings yesterday. I actually caught them in a hotel lobby slash bar. We're going to talk to them. Matt Barrows, though, is going to talk Niners next, right here on The Drive. Sports 1140, back in three. Thank you.